I certainly don't need this.
Say like Brother Tom, Lord bless me with a big mouth. When you preach in the open air, you know, and that's where it starts. You sort of develop your voice. So my voice has been scratchy for the last several days. But that's where we developed our preaching voices, I guess, preaching in the open air. Of course, you had amplification, but it's still good to be able to preach in the open air. Hearing Brother Ross talking and this microphone on reminded me, last year, I think it was, Brother Bill Davies, Green Turtle Key. You know, he went home and he forgot, he was carrying the mic, he forgot to turn it off. And he was going home talking to Elsie and they were walking along the street and they could hear him back in the church. But then they weren't saying anything bad. They were talking about somebody. He forgot he had the microphone on. Well, it's good to be here again and good to have Mary. She came up yesterday. She switched. Andrew went home yesterday and Mary got here. So it's good to be here for the rest of this week. Turn again, please, to 2 Corinthians 5. I did something last week. We talked about a word that's found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And we're going to read that again this morning. But before we do, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to give thanks afresh today for this thy precious word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our instructor. We pray that even now, as we look into the scriptures, that he will illumine our hearts and minds and bring the things of Christ afresh to us today, we pray. As we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 20 is the verse we looked at. Now then, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. The word we're looking at is ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. If you follow the Bahamian news, or sometimes you may get access to a newspaper, in recent weeks and months, the Bahamas has received a number of new ambassadors from different countries. The latest is being the ambassador from the Republic of China, which is Formosa. Not Communist China, the People's Republic of China, but this is the Republic of China, which is Formosa. We just received a new ambassador a week or so ago. Prior to that, the French government has a new ambassador to the Bahamas, and just recently the Americans have a new ambassador to the Bahamas. An ambassador is a person who is the official representative of his or her country in another land. They are people of, they have special rank. They travel on a special passport. They don't travel on a regular passport. They have an ambassadorial passport. And they're recorded special privileges by the country to which they're sent. Now, Paul says here that every Christian is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That's very important. That's a vital thing to remember. We are ambassadors of Christ. Not just the preacher. Not just the Sunday school teacher or the elders or the deacons or whoever it may be involved in the public ministry of the church. Every Christian, everyone who has accepted Christ is an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. You are an ambassador of Christ. Now, we saw several things about the ambassador. Last week, we saw, first of all, the ambassador. In order to be an ambassador for the Bahamas, for instance, that person has to be a Bahamian. By birth. There are also naturalized Bahamians. But to be a citizen of his country, that's the important thing. You would not expect President Clinton to appoint a British person to be an ambassador to France. He would appoint an American. Somebody who was born in the United States. And of course, there are the other things. Sometimes they're naturalized. But it's important to be a citizen of the country. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, if you have the King James, it says our conversation. That's an old English word, which means our conduct, our way of life. It can be translated our politics or our citizenship is in heaven. So we are citizens by birth. We are born into the family of God. And to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you have to be a citizen of heaven. And then secondly, we saw last week, the ambassador has to be called. Somebody just doesn't say, I've decided I'm going to be an ambassador for the Bahamas. I'm going to Washington, D.C. If I had to decide that, or you decide that, and I clear customs in Miami or Fort Lauderdale or West Palm, or if you go through Nassau, and the U.S. customs man or lady says to you, what is the purpose of your trip? Oh, I'm going to be the ambassador to Washington. They look at your passport, and they said, well, they consult with somebody else. We better send this guy back, or this lady back. There's something wrong upstairs. They don't have an ambassadorial passport. They don't have that special passport which designates them as an ambassador. You see, the ambassador has to be called. But you and I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. His resurrection message was, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So we have been called, and then we've also been commissioned. The ambassador receives a commission. He just doesn't go. She just does not go to a country. When they're called, the President of the United States, or the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, or the Prime Minister of Great Britain, or maybe the Queen through the Prime Minister, will say to that person, your commission is to serve your country in France, or in the Bahamas, or in America, or wherever it is that they're being called to. Their commission is a certain place. Now, you and I have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus, and he says in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. After that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is home, Spanish Wells. He says then in Judea. Judea, we can think of Judea maybe being Eleuthera. Then he said Samaria. Now why did the Lord Jesus include Samaria? Huh? Why did the Lord Jesus say Samaria? What you go back to John 4. And it says that he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he say Samaria? Because the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. And remember the woman at the well said, how is it that you being a Jew ask drink of water of me being a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They hated each other. They despised each other. In fact, the Jews, the Samaritans had their own center of worship, Mount Gerizim. And they said, she said to the Lord Jesus, you say that we'll worship in Jerusalem. We say Mount Gerizim, which is right. And the Lord Jesus settled that. He said, the time is coming. You should either worship in that mount or this mount. But the time is coming, and all that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth, for God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so Samaria are those areas that we don't like to go into. Those people that we may think are not very special to the Lord, but that's the areas that we're to go. He says, Samaria. And then he says, to the ends of the earth. Some from this island here have, in recent years, been going with Brother Rob to Russia and carrying Bibles and witnessing and sharing. And that's the commission of the Lord. So we are his ambassadors. At home. And you know, the hardest place to be an ambassador is at home. Because everybody knows us, right? Everybody knows us. In fact, when you live in small communities, people know your business before you know it. I know because I've lived in small communities all my life. I remember I was in another place in Abaco, not Marsh Harbor, but I was in this community, and I was upstairs, staying up over the little chapel that had a little place upstairs, and I was staying, like the old chapel out that was sitting here, a wooden building. It had an apartment upstairs. And I sneezed a couple of times. I was doing something, I had dusted my books. About an hour later, I went out to do something, and somebody said, how's your cold? I said, I don't have a cold. Then somebody else met me, I hear you've got the flu. Somebody passed, heard me sneezing. You see? And quick as that, the news spread. So you have to, the hardest place to be an ambassador is right in your hometown. But that's where he said. And then we saw the ambassador's, fourthly, his credentials. You read, or her credentials. One of the things you'll read when an ambassador comes to the Bahamas is they present their credentials, their papers, to the Governor General and to the Prime Minister. They make an official visit, and they are officially recognized by presenting their credentials, their papers. Now, we have we have credentials. And as we saw last week, one of the credentials of an ambassador is, of the Lord Jesus, is that we must know the Lord Jesus. We must get to know him real well. One of the things, if I were to meet the ambassador from the Republic of China, and I would say, well, tell me about your leader. Tell me about the person in charge of your country. And he would sound awfully stupid if he said to me, well, I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. If so, you were to meet the ambassador from the United States, well, tell me about President Clinton. Well, I don't know anything about that guy. He's a stranger to me. No, you see, he would be able to, or if it's a lady, and there are quite often, as we've had, there are ladies who are ambassadors, they would be able to say, oh, let me tell you about my leader. Let me share with you. And when people ask us or people see us, we should be able to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? Be able to share. Let me tell you about the Lord. Then some people look at us and they see us going through a problem or a difficulty. Or they see us when everything else is, you know, other people are all upset and all uptight and we're calm and we're collected, and they say, well, what makes you tick? How did you get that way? How come you were able to do that? And we say, it's because of who I know. It's because of my Savior. You see, there are credentials, and we also should know about our country. We're citizens of heaven. Now, the Bible tells us something about that. But you know, we don't get so excited about heaven. It's a beautiful place. It's a marvelous place. You know, people argue and kill and fight one another about gold and silver down here. And the Bible says when we get to glory, we're going to walk on streets of transparent gold. Isn't that something? So we can talk about the Savior, we can talk about the Bible, we can talk about the things of the Lord. These are our credentials. Now, quickly today, I want to think with you, fifthly, of the ambassador's conduct. Very important. You see, the ambassador is his country's or her country's official representative to another country. Now, we know a lot about the United States and Canada because we live very close. But what if somebody were to come as the ambassador has come from the Republic of China, which is all the way around the other side of the world? So the only contact most of us would have with somebody from China would be through their ambassador. Now, we've come from another world, or we belong to another world, another country. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the only knowledge that people are going to have of what it means to be a Christian and to be on our way to heaven is the way we act, the way we live, our conduct, the way I talk, the way I walk. People see me, they see you, and they're not reading the Bible, but they're looking at the way we live. And sometimes you'll hear people say, if so-and-so is a Christian, I don't want to be one. Why? Now, I know that's a cop-out. I know that's an excuse. I realize that a lot of people are using that as an excuse, and that's not going to stand up in the judgment bar of God. But nevertheless, we as Christians should not give them an excuse. We should not leave ourselves open for criticism. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now here's our part. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Bible tells us in Titus 2, in verse 12, that he has saved us, in verse 11, brought us salvation, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, that Christians are to abstain from all appearance of evil. There are some things that may not be evil in themselves, but we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. There are some things that may be all right, that maybe there's nothing really, really wrong with it, but it's how the unsaved person perceives what I'm doing, what I'm saying, and to them it may be evil. And the Bible says that we're not to be a stumbling block in the life of any person. You know, some years ago, in fact, many years ago, I was visiting one of the communities in Abaco, and I passed a construction site, And I stopped to talk to the man. At that time, that man was unsaved. Later on, he got saved. But he was unsaved, and I stopped to talk to him. I knew him, and he pointed to a man who was working on that, on his house in the construction. He said, "Do you know that man there?" I said, "Yes, I do." He was a brother from an assembly in another community. I said, "Yes, I know him very well." And I was wondering what he was going to say. He said, "I want to tell you something. That man's a Christian." Now, that's coming from an unsaved person. He said, "That man is a Christian. He says he doesn't talk and he lives it." Oh, I started feeling good. You know, oftentimes you hear the opposite, huh? Somebody say, "You know so-and-so." Yeah. But he said, "That man's a Christian." And I watched him. He's different. He comes to work at 7 o'clock and he gives me an honest day's work. He says he doesn't loaf up like some of the other men when I'm not looking. He works. I could go away, he says, and I could leave him, I can trust him around anything. I said to myself, what if I told that brother later? I said, "I want to encourage you to keep on living for the Lord because you are a testimony. You don't have to preach, you don't have to open your mouth." He did. He used to preach and talk, witness for the Lord too. I said, "But you know, you're living a life." By the same token, this preacher came to us, this church, he came to be pastor. And the church had gone down, and he decided he would visit among different ones and try to... So he went to one of the... He got a list of the people who used to attend that church, and he went to this man, a businessman, and he told him who he was. So he says, "Oh?" He says, "Yes, I understand you used to attend, used to come to our church, and you no longer come." He says, "So is there any reason why?" "He's come to the office." He opened his books. Of course, today it'll be, they'll put it up on computer. But he opened his books and he said, "So and so." "Yeah, this man here. He goes to your church?" "Yeah." He said, "He's owed me this bill now. For 2 years, he hasn't paid a dime on it. He's a Sunday school teacher in your church." He went over here. He pointed to somebody else. He said, "You know him?" "Yeah." And he showed him. He says, that's why I don't go to church, your church." You see, we are ambassadors, and our conduct, we'll either draw people to Christ or we'll drive them away. We'll either draw them to the Lord Jesus or we'll drive them away. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to talk and witness for the Lord, but you know the emphasis in the New Testament is on walking? Read the book of Ephesians. 6 times in the book of Ephesians you have walk. Chapter 2. Verse 10, we know chapters Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." We should walk in what? Good works. Now, good works never saves a person. I've known people who say, "Oh, you know, you have to work your way to heaven. You have to work for salvation." And they misquote Philippians chapter 2, I think it is, in verse 12. "Work out your own salvation with fear." It doesn't say work versus work it out. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us that we are to walk worthy of the Lord. Chapter 4 verse 17, we're told to walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind and so on. Ephesians 5, 2 tells us we're to walk in love. Ephesians 5, 8, we're to walk in light. And Ephesians 5, 16, we're to walk circumspectly. 5:16. We are to, 5:15, I'm sorry. We are to walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means above reproach. It means that we're to walk carefully. Watch how we walk. In Nassau, you've seen it. Sometimes, you know, they want to keep people out. You know what they do? They'll build a wall. On the top of the wall, they'll put glass bottle. Broken glass, sharp glass. Put the old bottles and stick, and maybe they put them in and they bust, you know, but and these sharp, jagged pieces. Have you ever seen that in Nassau? The idea is if somebody jumps up and on that, they're going to get messed up pretty badly. You take a cat. See the cat walking along that glass bottle. And that cat is walking between. He knows if he puts his foot down or four down the wrong spot, he can get cut. And he's very careful. He's walking circumspectly. Carefully. He knows that one false move, and he's in trouble. And so we're to walk. We're to walk circumspectly. You know, this is a very sad thing. But once in a while, you will read or you will hear, because an ambassador of his country or her country, whichever the case may be, because of their conduct, their bad conduct, you heard that their leader, their president or prime minister or king or queen or whatever it is, has recalled them in disgrace. You don't hear that too often. Maybe they were drinking and carrying on. Maybe they were involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. And you read the president has regrettably had to recall ambassador so and so from such and such a country in disgrace, and has taken that post away from him or her. This is very important. You know, if we as Christians do not keep our books clean, the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves and we are to make sure that our lives are clean. If we do not judge ourselves, the Bible says then we are what? Judged of the Lord. We are chastened of the Lord. And you know, the extreme part of this judgment is that sometimes the Lord takes a believer home before time. Taken to heaven in disgrace. Paul wrote about the man in 1 Corinthians 5. He says that I have committed him to Satan that the body might be destroyed, but that the soul might be saved. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, for this cause, some among you are weak, some are sick, and some sleep. What does he mean when he says sleep? They died. And so our conduct is very important. But then quickly we want to think of the ambassador's constituents. That sounds like here in the Bahamas, the constituency of you know, whatever, Marsh Harbor constituency, Hopetown, you know. But this is different. The constituents are those people that we go to, that we represent. And our constituents are the people we meet with every day, the people we rub shoulders with, our family, our unsaved members of our family, our friends, our schoolmates, our workmates, wherever we are, they are our constituents. If we go to Nassau, the people there are our constituents. If we go to Abaco, the people there, or if we go to Florida, wherever it is, they're our constituents. Wherever we go, those people are the people that we're sent to. Paul wrote to the Romans Christians in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. He says, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In verse 15, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, what is the ambassador's message? Right here in this chapter, it says in this verse. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, we're ambassadors for Christ, and our message is, be reconciled to God. The fact that a sinful man, a man that is lost and in his sin, can be reconciled to a holy God. Now, God doesn't need to be reconciled to man, but man needs to be reconciled to God. And he has committed unto us this ministry of reconciliation. We have the most wonderful message in the world to tell people that though they're sinners, though they're lost, though they're on their way to hell, they can, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be reconciled to God. They can find salvation. They can find peace. I know no better message. I know no greater message. I know no message that carries hope like this message of the gospel. That man can have peace with God. Man can be saved. Man can be reconciled to God, man can come back into fellowship or come into fellowship with God. That which has been severed by sin, that link can now be reestablished through the Lord Jesus Christ, and man can be reconciled to God, and he can now have peace with God, and he can talk to God, and he can come to God and call him Father. That's a wonderful message. It's a tremendous message. That the bridge, the gap has been bridged. That you can now be reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to find, to see people when they come to the Savior to find, and they say, oh, I wish, you know, one of the things I've had people say, I wish I had done it before. I didn't know, I didn't understand this peace that you're talking about. I didn't understand this joy that you have. Be reconciled to God. But you know, as we think of the ambassador, there's always one thing. They must remember that they receive their orders. They don't carry out and do things on their own. They follow the orders of their leader. There's a control. And then, of course, the ambassadors of Christ, you and I are controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ said when he promised the coming of the Spirit in John's Gospel, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. He says, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. The word another carries the thought of one just like myself. He said, when he has come, he will be with you. Now in the Old Testament, he was with them, he came upon them. I hear people saying today, you know, they want the Holy Spirit to come upon them. The Holy Spirit is in me. I said, that's Old Testament language. He's in me. You know something? I cannot have any more of the Holy Spirit than I already have. But he can have more of me. That's the difference. We have people today who are encouraging people to pray for what they call a second blessing. To receive what is called, they term the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're never told to pray for the baptism of the Spirit. We're never told to plead for it. We're never told in the Scriptures. We're never commanded to seek it. We're never told that. But we are told to be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Ephesians 5:18. And the tense of Ephesians 5:18 is this. He says, do not get drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's an ongoing process, and he is our control. And it's interesting that Paul says that we're not to get drunk with wine. We're in success. What happens when a person gets drunk? Huh? They no longer in control of their faculties. You know, it's amazing how alcohol will change a person. I've seen some little fellows who were meek and mild, and I mean, they wouldn't swat a fly. You let them get drunk and they get so biggity and they want to fight the biggest man. I mean, it just changes them. By the same token, I've seen some big rough and tough people, when they get drunk, they go to sleep. They sleep it off. They don't bother anybody. I saw a man one time, we were going to Exuma, going to Long Island, and we had to go through Exuma. That's the time when the mailboat used to go through Exuma to go through Georgetown onto Sims. And a man came on there, they helped him aboard, staggered aboard drunk, and he had his bottle and he stayed drunk the whole trip. I guess he didn't want to get seasick or something. But he was drunk the whole trip. And they let him off the boat at Georgetown drunk. But at least he didn't bother anybody. But I've seen some people, the moment they get drunk, the first thing they want to do is to come up in your face and start to argue and to talk, and you know, nothing smells worse. The sour boobs breathing in your face. When we first went to Tarpon Bay, Luther, the fellows used to get drunk on Bay Rum on Saturday night. Now you talk about something that smelled bad. You talk about something that could make you sick, and then they want to come right in your face, you know, they want to look right in your face and talk to you, you know, and the staggering and blurry eyed. But you see, what happens is when they're under the, they're not under, the alcohol has taken control of the brain. But now, Paul says, don't get drunk with wine wherein is excess or debauchery, but be filled, be being filled with the Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit is to let the Holy Spirit control us. He controls our thought life. He controls our time, our tongue, our temper. He controls everything. And when he's in control, his ministry is to glorify the Lord Jesus. His ministry is to reveal the Lord Jesus to us, in us, and through us. And so the ambassador's control comes from the Holy Spirit. And he gives us power. The Lord Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. If you look in Acts, you'll find that it was not political power. Those apostles did not have any power with the politicians. It was not religious power. They didn't have any power with the religious guys. They didn't have, it was not social power. They looked on them. It was not educational power. They were unlearned and ignorant men. It doesn't mean that they didn't know anything, but you see, they had gone to school, but they hadn't gone to the rabbinical school. They hadn't got their doctorate. They didn't have their PhD. They hadn't been to seminary. Today, a lot of people go to the cemetery. I mean, it's seminary, but they go to a cemetery. Because there's dead men teaching dead people preach. Spiritually dead, teaching spiritually dead people to try to reach spiritually dead people. Now, there are some good seminaries where men learn the Bible and they are able to expound it. Not saying anything wrong with it. But what they were saying, they were unlearned. They had not been to the rabbinical school. So they consider them, so they didn't have what they call educational power. They didn't have financial power. Peter said to the man, and he says, silver and gold have we not by none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Boy, he not only rose up, he leapt up. That shook the establishment up, and he went into the temple praising God, and you know, he was kicking his legs around. He was so excited, he got... That's when people get salved, they get really saved. The man asked for alms, A-L-M-S, and he got legs. Praise the Lord. So we have, but they had power. The Bible says in Acts 4, when they looked at Peter and John and they perceived that they had not been to the rabbinical schools, they were unlearned, they were ignorant men as far as they were concerned, but not as far as God was concerned. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He magnifies the Lord Jesus. He never magnifies himself. Contrary to what is being done today, a lot of what you see on television, a lot of these preachers, the Holy Spirit, they just magnify the Spirit. And that's not his ministry. But the ambassador receives his control from the Holy Spirit. We are ambassadors of Christ. And then finally, I want to close, because time is gone, the ambassador's commendation. You know, when an ambassador has served his or her country well, they receive a commendation, a citation, if you want to use that word, from their leader. The end of a time when they have been ambassadors, some have been, they've been around, they go to one country, they go to another. When the time comes and they retire, they are honored. In some cases, as if it would be in Britain, they might receive a knighthood. They might be knighted by the Queen, or they might receive special honor. You know, one of the other honors that they give. And isn't it wonderful to know that though men may not recognize what we're doing and may think it's insignificant, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give us our citation, our commendation. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. I'm sure many of you watched the Winter Olympics and or the Summer Olympics when they're on. And the winners stand up and they receive the gold, the silver, the bronze, first, second, and third. And they stand in the reviewing stand and they have that put on them. Well, in the ancient Greek games, the ancient Olympic games, this was a similar thing. There was a judge who sat at the bema, and these people came up and they were presented with not a gold medal, they were presented with a little wreath, a little crown made out of a piece of a leaf. put on top of their head. Paul said, they strive for a corruptible crown. We strive for an incorruptible one. And so there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will, we will gather as his people, his ambassadors, and we'll stand before him. And you know, the best commendation I think we could ever hear from his lips would be these words, well done, good and faithful. Not successful, not well-known, good and faithful servant. Well done. Let me ask as I close, what kind of an ambassador are you? Are we good ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ as we move up and down these streets? As we move among our unsaved friends, remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, are we ambassadors for Christ? Be a good ambassador. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Word of God. And one day, we'll stand before him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. May the Lord bless our heart, to our hearts his precious word. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we give thanks again for this, the precious word of God that we've looked into. This verse, Lord, deliver it fresh. We pray that you'll impress it upon our hearts and burn it into our hearts, that wherever we go, we are the ambassadors of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we are the ambassadors of Christ. Help us to be good ambassadors, godly ambassadors, spirit-filled ambassadors, living lives, conducting ourselves in such a way that others will be attracted to the Savior and will find him whom to know is life eternal. Bless us as we will dismiss from this class, as we go into the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread meeting, and bless the meeting tonight, even, Lord, to the saving of precious souls. Remember those, many who are traveling today. We pray for journeying mercies. Those that are sick, those that have gone seeking medical attention, we commend them all, Lord, to your grace and to your keeping, and we pray that you'll be with each one as we give out your thanks and our praise in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.